Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
All righty, we're in Joshua 21 tonight, but before we go to Joshua chapter 21, I read an article this past week, and I wanted to share just three quotes with you because I think they're relevant. The quotes I'm going to share with you are from Albert Mohler, Jr. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and that means there'd be some areas in which I would disagree with him, but Albert Mohler overall is a very conservative man, and there's no doubt that he is a brilliant mind as far as theology is concerned. But I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that as Christians go these days, he is conservative, and I think you'll see that by his quotes. And he is putting forth a challenge to churches, okay? And I think he's right on, and I want to share this with you. First quote is this. He said, among the many challenges the church will face in the present and coming generations, few will equal the challenge of maintaining a steadfast commitment to biblical Christianity in the midst of an increasingly hostile environment. Cultural hostility takes more than one form and can pose as seduction rather than coercion. He is warning churches about being steadfast, being committed to the faith. And churches need to take heed because sadly there are a lot of churches that aren't taking heed. There are way too many churches these days that are capitulating. And he knows that. And that's the reason as a well-known figure in evangelicalism in our country, he states the fact that churches need to stand for the faith, not capitulate, not compromise. The compromise is very obvious. I mean, 100 years ago, maybe even 50 years ago, it was virtually unheard of to have female pastors in churches. Because why? Well, it's just not biblical. And that's not putting down on women at all. Men and women are different. They have different roles. Some things women do better than men. Some things men do better than women. That's the way God created us. And it just so happens in God's plan, he brings men to the leadership positions in the church. But that's not the case anymore. In many denominations, there are female pastors. And again, not to say that they can't do it. I mean, I've heard some female pastors, and they can be articulate, and they can be caring, and they can be thoughtful. That's not the point. 100 years ago, it used to not be that way. The only reason it's that way today is cultural pressure. Not because the Bible has changed. It's because churches have capitulated to the pressure of the world and the women's lib movement of the past 40 or 50 years. And that's an indication of culture influencing the church rather than, as it ought to be, the church influencing culture. Not only that, but the ordaining of homosexuals. Nobody even thought about that 50 years ago. It was unheard of. But today, entire denominations are doing it. Why? Because the Bible changed? No. Because of pressure. Culture. And again, that's an illustration of culture influencing the church rather than the church influencing culture. And not only that, but even churches today, some churches, some entire denominations are performing homosexual marriages. They're giving legitimacy to homosexual marriages. Well, that hasn't been done in the history of mankind until recently. Well, why the change? Have we gained insight into the Bible that we never knew before and it's been there but we just discovered it? No. It has to do with outside pressure. It has to do with worldliness and carnality and Satan, and culture has influenced the church rather than the church influencing culture. And I appreciate Al Mohler saying Churches need to see the threat. And he says, and I quote, maintain a steadfast commitment to biblical Christianity. And that's not always going to be easy. And churches that maintain that steadfast commitment are going to, in many cases, be criticized, be made fun of. And we just need to expect that and understand that. You're going to see that this Sunday as we continue in our study of those first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. We're going to see them in Antioch, Pisidia, and they're going to come under attack. There's people that aren't going to always appreciate or like the Word of God. And we just need to have resolve. And he goes on to say this. The challenge also includes our responsibility to transmit the Christian faith intact and in full integrity from generation to generation. Now, what did he say? Let me read it again. This challenge also includes our responsibility to transmit the Christian faith intact and in full integrity from generation to generation. Well, isn't that a given? No, it is not a given. Not this day and age. Rather than transmitting faithfully the Word of God to the next generation, there are churches now that say there's more than one way to God, not just Jesus. Liberal churches in this country. So they are not faithfully transmitting. They're changing it. There are churches today that will teach there's not a literal hell. There are churches today that will teach that the Bible isn't the Word of God per se, but it contains the Word of God. However it speaks to you, it becomes the Word of God. And all these crazy, nuanced approaches to Scripture. So no, it's not being transmitted faithfully to the next generation. Of course, that's part of Satan's plan, to eliminate it from our culture altogether. But then he says the third thing, third quote. He says, young Christians today and in the future, now he's addressing here specifically young Christians, but there's implications here for all of us. He says, young Christians today and in the future will need more doctrine, more theology, greater grounding in the Christian faith, a more comprehensive biblical theology, and a greater understanding of how to translate biblical truth into everyday life. He says, the younger generation is going to need more doctrine, more theology, greater grounding in the Christian faith. Now, that's true, but what I find encouraging, because I read a lot, every morning, well before daylight, I'm reading. And I read a variety of different sources. And I am reading, and I find this encouraging. There's a lot of bad news. Let me give you some good news. In some of this younger generation, which we often call the millennials, there is a desire to know God. And I'm reading that from a variety of sources, from people who would know, who say that a lot of the younger generation who have found faith in God want the truth. They want to know their Bible. They want to know theology. My experience dealing with some young people confirms that all of the younger generation isn't lost. Now, a lot of them are in a lot of trouble, but those that do find the Lord in the younger generation, they want to know their Bible. And that has led me to make a decision about this next year, beginning in January, or probably beginning in January, that on Wednesday nights, you know, for the longest time we've been teaching through books of the Bible, and that is a wonderful thing to do, and we will do it again. But for this next year, we're going to be focusing on Wednesday nights on basic Bible doctrine for believers. And we're going to take it one subject at a time, and probably one subject a month. Technically, it's called systematic theology. But a lot of people don't know what that means, so we're just calling it Bible basics for believers or basic Bible for believers. But what it is systematic theology. And what is systematic theology? It is just studying the Bible by broad topics, like the Bible. We'll spend a month talking about how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? How did we get the Bible? How did these 66 books come together? Younger generation, and I believe older generation, they want to know that. And then God, what do we know about God? How do we know there is a God? What do we know about this God? How do we know that what we believe about God is true? That's the theology of God, the theology of the Bible, theology of God. 1 month may be spent on the Holy Spirit. There's all sorts of different ideas floating around out there about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we're going to focus on that. And it's going to be very practical, very, very helpful, and we're going to apply it to our everyday lives. And I've read a lot recently where it talks about the younger generation want to know their Bible. Well, one of the ways of doing it, yes, is preaching through a book of the Bible at a time. But I want to make sure, in so doing, I mean, think about Joshua. It doesn't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's a very important topic. It's very important that we get it right and we know what the Bible says. And I think spending a month on the Holy Spirit will educate us and illuminate us and, you know, enthuse us. So anyway, I'm very excited about that. So this next year on Wednesday nights, it's going to be Bible Basics for Believers. We're going to take it broad topics, and one of the topics may be prayer, one of them be end times, just these big important Bible themes, Bible issues, and I hope to present it in a way where you're not going to want to miss. You're going to want to be here because it's going to be practical, it's going to be helpful, and because I not only believe that young people want to know their Bible well in this day and age, but everybody wants to know their Bible. Speaking of which, we're in Joshua chapter 21, and I want to spend just a few minutes talking about the first three verses of Joshua chapter 21, and then we're going to spend most of our time talking about the last three verses of Joshua chapter 21. That's where we're going to focus our time. But just for the sake of giving you knowledge about Joshua chapter 21, remember, for the last several chapters, it's been primarily about dividing up the promised land. They've come in, they're in the promised land, they've overtaken the promised land, now they're dividing up the promised land among the many tribes. And last week we said that Joshua, he was the one to receive his last. Well, that's sort of true. There's still one tribe out there. But they're not really last because they don't get land per se. We're talking about the Levites. That was a special tribe. This is the tribe that is the tribe of the priest. And their domain really is in heaven. But they need a place to stay. And that is talked about in the first three verses. Let's look at it here. What are we going to do with the tribe of the Levites? Well, in verse 21, or chapter 21, verse number 1, then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest and unto Joshua the son of Nun and to the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in. Not lands, not entire areas. They're going to be scattered among the people. These are the Levites. These are the priests. These are the representatives of the Lord, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. Verse number 3, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs. And then it goes on to describe what cities they are. They are dispersed throughout the land. And so these Levites, they come to Joshua for a place to live, and they're going to be dealt these various cities, and he's going to give it to them, and they're going to be spread among the land, these representatives of the Lord. Now, we're going to skip down to verse number 43, where in verses 43 through verses 45, God is going to, through his word, summarize his faithfulness to the tribes of Israel. And he is going to remind them in these three verses that he is indeed faithful. And that he will fulfill his promises. You can take it to the bank, as they say. You can write it in granite, as they say. And as he is reminding the children of Israel of his faithfulness to them, I think it's timely that remind us that he's still faithful. Amen. He's faithful to us. And sometimes, when the hard knocks of life come around, we might question that. know, why are we going through these tough times? So I want us to look at these verses as the Lord reminds the children of Israel how faithful he's been. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that you're not going to go through challenges. I mean, the previous generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and these are the people of God. And then when they come into Canaan, you know, they got to conquer the cities. And it's not always easy. And you remember the Battle of Ai. That did not go well. So at no time should any of us believe that as Christians in a lost world that our address is going to be like 305 Easy Street. But at the same time, even though life can be difficult, even for us Christians, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that God is faithful. So what does he tell them in verses 43, 44, and then in verse number 45? He says this. Now all the land's been divvied up, if you will. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. And the Lord delivered all of their enemies into their hand. And then in verse number 45, this is what I want to emphasize. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. And look at these last four words. All came to pass. Maybe it was challenging at times. Maybe they were scratching their heads at times. But the things that God had specifically promised them, it all came to pass. All came to pass. And on a Wednesday night, on a yucky day in October, I think it is very timely that we realize that God keeps his promises, and God is faithful. He told the children of Israel what he would do, and he was faithful to do it. Perhaps along the way, at some times, well, we know at times there was grumbling, at times there was complaining. And that might be our case tonight, and how good it is for us to be remembered from God's word, or be reminded from God's word, that God is true to his word. And our faith needs to be rekindled. Our faith needs to be rebuilt. Maybe the embers are burning low, and we need the Lord to, you know, and we're starting to get a little carnal, a little worldly, doubtful, complaining. And we need that flame, the fan to be flamed up and to warm us up again. So let's look at three things from this passage tonight that I think will encourage you. We need to remember tonight, no matter what you're going through, today, as God did back then, God still fulfills his promises. And the Lord gave unto Israel, it says in verse number 43, all the land which he sware to them, or which he promised to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. This verse is telling us that God's faithful to give them all the land that he promised them. And if you think about it, God still fulfills his promises today. Let me just mention two. There's lots more. He promises to give wisdom to those that ask for it. In James chapter 1, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That is a promise. And just as God fulfilled his promises to a different culture thousands of years ago, dressed funny, ate funny foods, rode camels, you know, he was faithful to them. He's just as faithful today. And you can count on it. And if you ask God for wisdom and you ask sincerely for wisdom, he promises that he'll give you wisdom. He will not fail you. And you know, folks, if there's one thing we need in handling a rough marriage or handling difficult children are handling our own inner demons, if you will. It's wisdom. And the good news tonight is if you pray for wisdom, there's not too many things more valuable on this earth than wisdom. He will give it to you. But he's also promised heaven. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. And of course, we know in that context he's talking about heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's a promise. That's a promise. And no matter what you may be going through today, for us as Christians, we know how the story ends. And it's going to end in heaven. A place that just, I think, is really incomparable for us in our finite minds. But that's something he has promised. And you don't have to worry about losing it if you've been born again. You don't have to worry about falling short if you have been born again. That is a promise, and he is true to his promises. So we need to be reminded tonight, no matter what you're going through, what you're struggling with, how hard life might be at the time, today God still gives us fulfilled promises. Number two, God still gives us rest. He certainly did with the children of Israel. And the Lord, it says in verse number 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers. He had promised them rest, and he came through. He gave them rest. They are now abiding in the land flowing with milk and honey. He has rewarded the children of Israel. And the thing we need to remember tonight is that God still gives rest. Even in turbulent times. Remember the story of Jesus and the disciples, and they're out on the water and the storm comes up and Jesus is asleep and they had to wake him up. He was not bothered by the storm. He was in the storm, but not bothered by it. You may be in a storm right now of who knows what. Health issues, financial issues, personal issues, addiction issues, whatever it might be. You can still know peace. He will still give us rest. John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is a promise that you can claim in the most difficult of circumstances. It doesn't mean that he's going to give you rest or give you peace in that you have no troubles, but within those troubles, while the waves are crashing all around, you really can experience peace. In my over 40 years of ministry, I've seen people go through the most challenging of circumstances. And yet there is a peace that defies understanding by lost people. And it's because it's the peace of God, which he promises. And as he promised the children of Israel rest, he promises us peace. He will not fall short. And John 15:10 talks about joy. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That's his joy for us. And that your joy might be full. Not only can you have peace in the midst of the storm, you can actually have joy. I mean, maybe not a hilarity and slapping your knee kind of laughter, but there's just this inner joy that it's okay. And the only source for anything like that is like that of the Lord. And just as he promised the children of Israel Canaan land and peace and rest there, he's the same God today. And we're his children today. And no matter what you're going through, he can still give you peace. He can give you joy. And then lastly, this evening, number three, what do we learn from this lesson? Today, God still gives us victories. He said in those last three verses of chapter 21 and chapter 44, verse number 44, he says, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, and the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. In the promised land now, God has given Israel victory. We need to be reminded that today we can still have victory. You might be in the battle. Don't quit, because victory is at hand. we can have victory over the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You say, but Pastor, I've been battling certain worldly things for a long, long time. Well, you haven't given up, so you haven't lost. And you may be one day away from victory, 1 week away from victory, 1 month away from victory. However long it takes to win the battle nonetheless will be won. We have the promise that we can have victory over the world and all the temptations that come with that, and ultimately, victory over death. Isaiah 25:8, that's a promise. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off of all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. He has spoken it. He stated it. He has promised it, that he swallow up death in victory. That becomes all the more meaningful when you take just a moment to think about what defeat would mean. By defeat, we mean dying in your sins and spending eternity in hell. We know the description of hell from the Word of God is an awful place. Think about your greatest fear. This may be a little weird, but humor me. Think about your greatest fear and the possibility that that might be your hell forever, facing that fear every day. Let's just say it's snakes. I know I'm being different, but what if it's snakes? And what if hell would be snakes around you every day? For eternity. For eternity. Not in a trillion years you get a reprieve. Folks, think about it. For eternity. You don't want to go to hell. Now, I don't know that it's going to be that. I don't know, but I know it's bad. We get enough from the Word of God that nobody wants to be there, that it's bad. It's his victory over that death that we should rejoice in. Because if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that's not a worry that you have. That's not a fear that you have. But I don't know what it was the other day. It was kind of haunting me, the thought of whatever your fear is. I mean, for me, I have a fear of tall buildings and looking over the edge. And I thought, what if hell was me there? I know you're thinking, Pastor, you're weird. Okay, yeah, but I'm just thinking, what if that were the case and that was for eternity? We don't want to go there, folks. That's the significance of what Jesus has done for us, because it ain't going to happen. You know, I've seen the cartoons. We're going to be in clouds strumming harps, you know. It's going to be a whole lot better than the other. He's given us victory over that death. That means punishment for eternity. We can claim God's word. You don't have to go home tonight and worry about it. And lastly, verse number 45, here's how it ends. There fail not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. You and I in this little congregation, we are as much the people of God as were those families and individuals that walked across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. We are just, look, God's story didn't end when the book of Revelation was complete. You do know, I mean, now the Word of God was complete, but the story continues, right? We're part of that story. We're just not in the book because the book is complete. But the story isn't complete. The story continues, and if God were to write another Bible, maybe that we would be in there. We're his people today. And God doesn't change. And it says, all came to pass. All came to all, and it's all good. Just like everything you want for your children that you want to come to pass, you want it all to be good. And God loves us more completely, more purely than we even love our children. And he wants it to come to pass for us, and it will come to pass. So, maybe you're going through a tough time right now. Financially, health, marital, children at work, personal temptations that you battle. Be encouraged that all of God's promises for you will come to pass. They'll come to pass. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.